Jane.
Tiffany the Last.
We're from PiratePods.com at Bar Pink with
Tippy Canoe
and Madam Pamita.
The beating of your telltale heart. A message to me, a hoops and me. That maddening tattoo is your heart. Sculpture of sound you share with the neighbor of your telltale heart.
Kick this off, if your name were in the dictionary, what would the definition be?
Oh, I didn't know this was going to be a hard test. I was hoping I would get at least a B+, but I'm starting to have some doubt. If my name
is going down.
It's going down. What would my name be in the dictionary? It would be under, I think I would like it to be under rhythm and soul. How's that? How's that for deep?
The euphonious prognosticatress who plays ukulele and tells fortunes.
All right. And how did you two get together?
Oh, this is a long story.
It's a winding path.
Do you want to start?
Well, I was in a band called the Neptunas where we played garage rock and surf music, and you were?
I was the drummer in a band called the Kirby Grips, and we played garage pop, and we were two all-girl trios. And we got booked together at the illustrious Purple Onion in San Francisco. I think it was the first gig, probably. This is all, what, like
in the 90s?
Years? Yes.
'90s, way in the 90s.
Yeah, 12, at least over 12 years ago. And then we were on the same label, Sympathy for the Record Industry.
And then we sort of meandered our paths in different directions, and then we ended up doing music that was amenable to play together by chance, and then we found each other again.
And we're so. I first saw, you know, Madame Pamita, I'm like, this is so cool, and I love it, and I love the imagery, and I was like, this is great. And then I read the fine print. I was like, oh, of course, Pamita from the Neptunas. So I was like, wow, we have some history. So we've just been having a great time. We've been playing a bunch of shows and touring. And
so you mentioned that you were playing in some bands in the 90s. So how'd you find the genre of the ukulele and start playing with that?
How did you find
it? How did I find it? You know, it came to me, actually. I was the drummer in a rock band, as I said, and I wanted to sing and accompany myself, and I was learning guitar, and my ex-boyfriend is a flea marketeer, so he, you know, would always be selling clothing and collectibles, and he started bringing home ukuleles, and I was like, this is fun. He showed me a few chords, and just off and running, and I really enjoyed, one, being able to play old jazz tunes and just be able to master them, you know, that fingering I would have to really work hard at a guitar, and someday I will, but it just clicked, and there's a lovely community, really all kinds of people. I mean, it's really a wide variety.
It's fun. It's
and
a lot
international.
Of fun. Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, I was a bass player originally, so I think I had the same issue of like wanting to be able to play. I want to play an instrument all by myself and not have to rely on someone else to play it, to play this music so I can sing along to it. And so I started playing banjo, actually, originally, and then I somehow migrated over to ukulele and then stuck with ukulele, so that's how I did it.
And you two, how are you going to start playing ukulele?
It's so easy. Everyone can do it.
Is it?
Yeah. Yes. You ready to?
Oh, I would love to.
You gotta start. Well,
I noticed sometimes, most of the times, you were just strumming with your thumb.
Yeah, I was self-taught. Mm-hmm. I play it like I would do if I was playing a guitar without a pick. But there is a strum, and you know, it has a little more volume, and it's like a... It's like you're shooing away something, I guess, but downward, shooing something downward. But there's different types of strums. You can get into all kinds of interesting patterns and such.
That's the great thing about ukulele is that you can do your own thing. I mean, she does a different, completely different kind of style of playing than I do. It sounds really different.
I was wondering, because ukulele is sort of an instrument that gets overlooked. You know, were you guys surprised by the community and the popularity that's out there?
I guess so. I mean, it's been, I've been playing for a while, so trying to remember back when, you know, it just seemed to grow. It seems that it's growing as I'm growing.
So. Yeah, I mean, I get pretty astounded at how many people are doing it, and but it's exciting to me. Yeah. You know, exciting to me because it's a DIY, completely a DIY instrument. It's I came from a punk rock background, punk rock bands, you know, garage rock bands, and so seeing people being able to take their destiny into their own hands and like play their own music is exciting to me. So seeing that's what ukulele is to me. It's not guitar. It's not something that you have to be this fabulous master of.
Fabulous wanker.
Exactly.
There's so many have chosen that path.
But it's like you can play. I in my shows that I do, I say if you can play C, F, and G7, you can play with me. Come play with me. And I have people come up and bring their instruments and come and play with me. Not this show, but. It happens a lot, so it's like it's totally DIY. It's totally rise up, people, yeah. With the ukulele.
And a lot of it's there's a certain sincerity. I mean, a lot of people are really, you know, they're not doing a novelty thing, or even I mean, like Pamita, for example, it's a performance, and she's fortune telling and speaking, and you know, it's all wrapped up in a very interesting package. But I know there's sincerity there. I mean, she's really looking into people's eyes and really. You know, there's a real element. It's not just, it's not contrived completely. I know I'm a little contrived.
But. No, you're not. I was just thinking, I'm really contrived, but you're not.
But I do see this in, like, the realness in what, you know.
Yeah.
You want people to feel good and help them. And
I don't think there's really any dour ukulele players, are there? Not many, if there are.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a people's instrument.
It is, yeah.
Well, as a performer, do you have any pet peeves towards the audience?
Let me count the ways.
My pet peeve, I love interaction with the audience. So an audience that doesn't want to interact would be my pet peeve. Yeah. An audience that would be too shy or too reticent or too uptight to interact would be my pet peeve. But I've never had that experience, so I've had a good experience.
Yeah. You can always get them going.
Everyone's their fortune told, right?
Yeah. And when you're on the other side, when you're an audience member, do you have any pet peeves towards the performers?
Just don't phone it in, you know. Even if you're not an effusive performer and, you know, if the music's not suitable to jump up and down, but just don't phone it in.
Don't reprimand the audience.
That's yes. Yes, that's
get up and
one.
Dance, everyone. Well, no, if they want to dance, they'll dance. If they want to do the thing, they'll do the thing, but don't reprimand them.
Yeah, I'm trying really hard because playing solo, people talk, and it depends on the venue. If it's a theater-style thing, of course, people should be respectful. But if it's a bar, people are out to have a good time and drink and talk. And
that's all right.
Yeah, I've learned that to...
They're having a good time with you in the background.
I've learned that sometimes you just want to say, shut up, but you can't. It looks bad. It comes across wrong.
You're the kind of performer I can't stand. Not at all.
And so what are you guys looking forward to coming up?
I'm going to Japan. And going to back to England. I just came back from England. I did a tour in England, and so I'm going to do a little Japan tour and a little England tour. I love going to other countries and bringing weird American music to those countries, and that's what I'm looking forward to. What about you?
I'm looking forward to everything.
Great.
Whatever life presents.
Whatever life presents. Travel, making more
fame,
records.
Fame, fortune.
I want to learn to tap dance.
You're famous in my world. You know that? I just want to point, in my pantheon of people, you're like Madonna in my world.
Wow.
That's what the place that you hold.
Oh, then I'm looking forward to adopting a child from... That's what I'm looking forward to. And I'm looking forward to having it blocked.
Yes. And a 25-year-old boyfriend? No.
Yeah.
You've got a nice boyfriend.
Yeah, I've got the one. So I'm not trading that model in for anything.
Okay, well, back to the test questions. If you could put something in a time capsule, or a few things, not just one thing, what would that be for the future generations?
If I could place time in a bottle, one thing I'd like to see... time capsule.
Well, see, I like everything that's actually from a time capsule. I love, like, wax recording. I love tin types. I love all old stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I guess you could put all that stuff into now and then into, like, the future. I'm really into old stuff, so.
If I were to put a time capsule, I would record my cat, Captain Bobby Underfoot, because he's always on, doing all these, like, and he squeaks, and he goes, and then people in the future will wonder what kind of creature it was.
And what the hell that language meant.
Yeah, what that language. They'll be deciphering it. There'll be teams of people. I think that's what I want to do.
Okay. Well, I've got my last three. So I ask silly three questions at the very end to wrap them up. And the first is, do you have any slang terms that you overuse?
Rats. I always say rats.
Slang terms.
A swell. That's another one.
Yeah.
It's swell.
What is slang? Dig you now, plant you later. I don't know.
Raise the roof.
Raise the roof. Roof is on fire. Yeah. I've started to say cheers. I'm finding my husband-to-be is English, and it's starting to seep in, and I'm one of those embarrassing Americans that says the word wanker, like I just did, and says cheers, and next thing I'm going to be like, governor.
Did you do the governor? What do you believe?
So that's the slang I need some, you know, someone needs to stomp that down. I guess it's going to have to be me, but...
Oh, that goes along with Madonna, so.
There you go. Perfect.
Oh, see, you put my panty on perfectly.
That is so funny.
What's your drink of choice?
Oh, I just came back from England. I'm really into scrumpy.
Oh, what's that?
It's cider, like cloudy cider that, like, it's like deceivingly, like, I'm drinking apple juice. I'll drink a pint of it. Oh, wait a minute. I'm flat on my back. Wait a minute.
I didn't
what
know
happened?
How it affected me this way.
What happened? How did that happen?
Oh, good old Jameson's for me.
Yeah, you called out a shot. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Did you get one?
I did.
Good. I was going to get you one, but I couldn't get up from my seat because it. If that had happened, I would have lost my seat.
No.
Who the hell knows?
It came to me. It was great. That's an exciting thing about being on stage is you ask for things and they come to you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to move on stage. We should totally
live
there.
$1 million.
Can someone bring me $1 million?
Right. And how do you guys feel about eyeliner?
Oh, it's good.
I use double eyeliner. I use crayon and liquid.
Wow.
I'm like doubling up.
Secrets.
That's the secret to the Madame Pamie de Mystique.
I know. That'll have to be in your book.
I'm sharing it with all, because that's how I am.
Eyeliner. I love eyeliner. I'm down with it. I'm for it. I'm pro. I'm not against. I think
there's probably people in San Francisco that are against.
I think the Senate's going to pass it, and I think it's going to represent our country beautifully. I think it's going to keep the court liberal.
I like eyeliner on boys, too.
Yeah.
I like it on boys.
Uh-huh. So. All right. Any last words for your fans?
Oh, cheers.
Thank you. Thank you for getting your fortunes told. Thank you for coming up and getting your fortunes told.
And listen to pirate pods all the time.
Yes.
Could you give us your best pirate impression?
Oh.
Arr, got a lady. Arr. You lily-livered landlubber. Can I just tell you the whole story behind the pirate accent?
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy who did the movie in like the 30s, and he was from the West Country of England, and he played a pirate. And all pirate accents are based on that guy, actor guy's accent.
Oh.
So there was no basis for the shiver me. It's because that guy from the West Country of England did it.
One guy.
So one guy based.
That's cool.
Wow. Thanks for that.
Little trivia for you. Little pirate trivia.
You totally got an A+. On your test. You nailed it at the end.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.